commemoration of the disappearance day of Srila Gaura Kishora Das Babaji Maharaj. It's also Ekadasi. So we're going to chant the prayers on the part of the Vaishnavas before class. Jayanti lokrema janna korana pracho
Amen. Kilo prema jana karuna praksho.
Jai Om Vishnupad, Pranamahansa Parvipacharya, Alstatada Satishi Shimad, His Divine Grace of Ayachatanada Bhaktivananda, Goswami Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Yaskam Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Ananda Goti Vaishnav Vrinda Kijai, Namacharya Srila Vridas Thakur Kijai, Ramse Gohoshi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shiva Siddhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Kijai Shishi Gata Krishna Gaur Bhagavata Sayam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavan Kijai Tirunam Kijai Navadeep Dham Kijai Jagadavasami Kijai Yamanamai Kijai Shrimati Lasi Devi Gajai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Gajai, Gaur Premananda Hari Karibol. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Read the translation. You brought the treasure of divine love and was filled with compassion and mercy. Where is such a personality as Srinivasa Charyagan? Where am I, Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the Savior of the Fallen? Where am I, Raghunath Bhattan, Gopal Bhattan? Where is Krishna Das Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. So, before close, I'd just like to welcome the devotees who are joining us online, Chitshakti, Draupadi from New Zealand, Helena, from the UK, and other devotees too. So today is the glorious commemoration of the disappearance day of Srila Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj. So we're going to speak a little bit about him today and tell some of the stories that are from this very, very nice book written by Karnamrita about Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj and Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. So, Om Gana Timananda Shah Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tosmai Shigaravena Maha. It's also a fast half day today. So, Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj was appeared, rather than using the word born, sometime in the 1830s in East Bengal, not West Bengal, but of course at that time there was one Bengal. East Bengal was divided into East Bengal and West Bengal later on during the partition. And he was born appeared in a place called Faridapura, which now is called Bangladesh. And he was born, incidentally, on the banks of the Padma River. The Padma River is the famous river that Narottama Das Thakur appeared alongside, and that's where Narottama Das Thakur bathed, and he got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who had previously deposited all of his mercy in the Padma River. Well, that's another story. His name before he became Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj was Vamsi Das. Of course, that's a spiritual name too. Vamsi is in relationship to Krishna's flute. So Vamsi Das, he was in a Vaishya family. He was a grain merchant, he worked as. And he was married. His parents got him married at a very early age. And for 20 years, he engaged himself in household life. After that period of time, his wife passed away. And so when his wife passed away, he just left everything and went to Vrindavan. And when he was in Vrindavan, he got the association of Bhagavat Das Babaji, who was a great disciple of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. So you see they're very much connected in the same disciplic succession. And from him he took the association, he took initiation in the Babaji order. And so he lived in Vrindavan, and sometimes he visited other places in the north or west of India. But he lived in Vrindavan primarily for 30 years, the Braj Mandal. It's described that he never had a place of residence. He showed the perfect example of what is a Babaji. And he never had a place of residence. He lived under trees for 30 years in Braj. And as you know, the weather in Braj can sometimes be quite harsh, either too cold or too warm. You have a little bit of a season when it's perfect weather, which is usually in October, beginning of November. And then it starts, you have this fog, and they're very, very cold there. And then, of course, in April, end of March, beginning of April, it turns very, very hot, then you have the rainy season. So he lived there quite austerely for 30 years. And it's described in his biography that he exhibited no ego, even though he was completely absorbed in Krishna Bhajan and actually got the name of Bhajan Anandi. That was a title that was awarded by other Vaishnavas. Generally, Prabhupada says we have two types of devotees, the Goshtan Anandis and the Bhajan Anandis. The Bhajan Anandis are those who simply chant the holy names and absorb themselves in their internal life. And the Goshtan Anandis are the preachers. Now, Srila Prabhupada, of course, established the principle of preaching Krishna consciousness, not just Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Bhakti Vinod Thakur, showed us the principle of preaching Krishna consciousness and at the same time developing one's internal life or internal relationship with Krishna under the instructions of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, who composed or wrote the Manashiksha. Manashiksha, of course, means the instructions to the mind. So Raghunath Das Goswami taught the internal practice of devotional service. Internal practice means that you're acting externally, doing your service for Krishna, and internally cultivating your Krishna consciousness. So there's also the external practice that was taught by Janachandra Goswami, who got instructions from Prakashra Pandit. And this external practice is so complicated that it's impossible for us to follow, because it involves like different mudras and mantras. And sometimes devotees, they try to do this external practice, or even they go to Vrindavan and they take shelter of the Babajis, who generally are trying to bring people away from Krishna consciousness, who are generally trying to discourage people from following Srila Prabhupada and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in fact offending in some cases Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada. But this external practice is not for the external practice where you have all these little details. The real point is the internal practice. And you see that Raghunath Das Goswami, who is our main acharya for Prayojana. Prayojana means the realization of the topmost aspect of Krishna consciousness, taught this internal practice. And of course, he also, you know, externally was extremely renounced, obviously, but he didn't do all these little detail things. He was basically absorbed in chanting the holy names and at the same time renovating the Radhakund area, you know, this external service that he was doing, and living very, very austerely, but he didn't get into all the little details and mudras and all these mantras and things like that. So anyway, that's Raghunath Das Goswami. So let's go on a little bit. So basically, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj showed extreme humility and never accepted
anybody serving him. And his story I'll tell about that a little later. So in 1897, when he was over 60 years old, he went to Navadvip and stayed in the Navadvip area for the rest of his pastimes. In fact, he arrived there at about the same time that Bhaktivinoda Thakur discovered the appearance place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Yogapith. And of course, that was corroborated by Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, who was about 120-something years old. And when Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj arrived at this place, even though he wasn't able to walk normally, he jumped out of the basket, which his servant Bihari was carrying, and danced in ecstasy. So, Gorkhasura Das Babaji Maharaj, he would beg from house to house, just some dried food. In fact, most of the times he wouldn't even take the trouble of cooking for himself. He would just soak the dried food in water, like soak rice in water and just eat raw rice. He was so austere. And sometimes he would just eat the dust or the mud from the Ganges as his food. Amazing personality. And he didn't make any, let's say, extraneous endeavor for clothes or for cooking utensils. It's described for clothes, he would pick up the clothes from the cremation ghat. Because when they would cremate someone, there would be sometimes old clothes there. And these clothes were considered extremely impure. And actually, of course, there's no question of purity or impurity as far as a pure devotee. Everything is pure. So he would take these clothes. And then also we'd take the pots and plates that were discarded at the time of Ekadashi. Because it's described whenever, not Ekadashi, eclipse, sorry. Whenever there was an eclipse, basically all the household paraphernalia was thrown out. Now we're just talking about clay pots. We're not talking about stainless steel or anything like that. So he would take that as his cooking utensils and eating utensils. So for some time, he also resided with Bhaktivinoda Thakur in this place where Bhaktivinoda Thakur constructed his Swananda Shukada Kunj house, which you see it's on the other side of the Jalangi River. If you go to Mayapur, and actually practically every devotee has gone to Mayapur, has visited this house, and you'll see the Bhajan Kutir of Gorkhasura Das Babaji Maharaj there. That's in a place called Godram Dwipa. Godram Dwipa. Incidentally, in the Jiva Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes extensively about Godram Dwipa and another place called Prajuna Kunj. So Prajuna Kunj, just relating it to the Jiva Dharma, is the place where Gorkhasura Das Babaji Maharaj resided. He would do his bhajan kutir sometimes in Swananda Shukada Kunj, but generally he would stay in Prajuna Kunj. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes reference to both these places. And he would attend Bhaktivinoda Thakur's classes every day. Bhaktivinoda Thakur would give classes in the Bhagavatam and other Vaishnava literatures and read some of his books. And for 2 hours a day, he would attend his classes from 3 to 5 in the afternoon. So as far as his possessions, basically he only had tulsi beads, neck beads, and japa beads, some books, and primarily the books of Narottama Das Thakur, essentially the Prema Bhakti Chandrika. Sometimes he became so aloof from this material world that he wouldn't have any clothes on. He would just walk around naked, not even being aware of the external world. He would also have a tiger skin cap, which incidentally was given to him by his spiritual master, Bhagavat Das Babaji, in Vrindavan. And he gave that eventually to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he gave also 5 pieces of rope to chant japa on. Very interesting. And also a tilak stamp. You know, sometimes you see these wooden tilak stamps you can get in Vrindavan and Mayapur, where you just stamp the, you know, the symbol on your arm. Usually you don't use it on your forehead, but you use it on the arms and other parts of the body. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very, very concerned with Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj's diet, because Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was not following an adequate diet as far as keeping his health together. So he tried to give him a good diet, but Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj absolutely refused to change his diet. You know, Ganges mud and just whatever dried things. And so therefore, externally, it appeared in 1908 that he lost his sight. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur at one point tried to get him to go to Calcutta to see a doctor, you know, an eye doctor. And he said to Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, you should go to Calcutta and there will be no inconvenience for you because Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, your disciple, will take care of you. And so Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, not wanting to accept the service from anybody, which is really amazing, He said, I refuse to take service from anyone. Actually, I'd rather drown myself in the Ganges. And then he said, well, better not to drown myself in the Ganges. Because if I drown myself in the Ganges, I'll become a ghost. So I'll just drown myself in the Jalangi River instead. So he ran to drown himself in the river in Bhaktivinoda Thakur stopped him. But still, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was so disturbed with the idea of accepting service from Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur that he disappeared for 45 days. Nobody could find him. And he would follow the Ekadasi so strictly, no grains or anything like that, but no water or anything during the Ekadasi. So in this way, he executed his pastimes. And of course, there's the famous pastime of him giving initiation to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was instructed by his father, Bhakti Vinoda Thakur, to give to take initiation from Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And so he approached him, and Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj first said, you know, I have to get permission from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so then he came back after some time and he asked, have you gotten permission? And Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj said, I forgot to ask. And then, you know, eventually he said, no, I can't give you initiation. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, you know, I'm going to basically throw myself off a cliff unless you give me initiation. And he gave Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur initiation and Krishna consciousness, gave him the mantra. And eventually we know that when Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj left this world, Bhakti said there was a whole discussion or conflict insofar as who would have his body and who would establish the samadhi. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, I'm the only disciple of his. And actually many of the Babajis didn't accept that he was a disciple of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And to this day, there's this anti-party. I mean, it's good to be aware of this, but they're called the anti-party, which are primarily the Babajis in Radhakund. See, that's what happens. Someone goes to Radhakund, and they try to convince you that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur never took initiation from Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. They work on you like that. And they say, well, we're teaching the real process, which I mentioned before, like the external process. We're teaching the real process for achieving Krishna Bhakti. We're going to give you your Siddha Pranali. We're going to tell you who you are in the spiritual world. We're going to tell you what who your associates are, what dress you have. That's called the Kadasha Bhava, the 11 aspects of one's personality. And this way they actually pollute the consciousness of the devotees who are going there. And many, many sentimental devotees, I know there's a lot of Russians there, but many, many sentimental devotees go there and they just like become enamored by this idea of very quickly getting pure Krishna consciousness. And basically Prabhupada did say that anyone who thinks they'll become Krishna conscious outside of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is living an hallucination. In other words, someone who leaves Prabhupada's association and thinking they're going to get something better, bigger, more advanced, is living an hallucination. In other words, it's like the coward boy, you know, Vatsasura, not coward, the cow, the calf, Vatsasura, who appeared to be a calf, a nice calf, but actually was a demon, or like Palambasura, who appeared to be a coward boy, but in fact was a demon that Balaram ultimately had to kill. So the, because we have this different tendencies, like the tendency to be illusion, tendency to make mistakes, imperfect senses, and cheating others, which are mentioned in the beginning of Ishopanishad by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, we can be very easily cheated. We can think that something is spiritual when in fact it's an offense. You can consider an offense to be spiritual, which is really interesting. Like Ramchandra Puri, he considered his criticism of his guru, that's Madhavendra Puri, to be spiritual. He considered his criticism of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be spiritual. He thought that was his spiritual life. So you find people like, you know, especially who criticize Prabhupada, criticize Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and even people who used to be members of ISKCON, that they think, you know, this is very, we're engaged in spiritual life. But many of them are engaged in simply offensive activity in the name of spiritual life. It's because we have a tendency to make mistakes. Unless we stick very tightly to the order of the spiritual master, we can make mistakes very, very easily and confuse matter for spirit and spirit for matter. So anyway, so when Gaura Kishoradas Babaji Maharaj left this world, there was a fight as to who would have his body. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that I'm his only disciple, you know, I'm entitled. And everyone else was fighting because they thought if we have his body, it'll be a tourist attraction. Tourist attraction to them means money. Like you see, Prabhupada sometimes criticize some of his godbrothers who ran their different ashrams, and then once a year they get all the widows and women who come and give donations in Mayapur. So if you have, let's say, the Yoga Pith or something that's very prominent, then people will come and give donations. I mean, that's natural. So that's why many of them wanted his body in their particular ashram. So basically there was this discussion, and they said, oh, you're not his disciple. But then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, all right, anyone who has not had illicit life with the opposite sex for a month, he can take his body. And then he reduced it, you know, a fortnight, 2 weeks, and then he reduced it like 2 days or something, 2 or 3 days. And nobody stepped forward, because he said, if anyone steps forward and they're lying, I trust you, then they'll be ruined. He sort of like gave a benediction that anybody who lied in that particular instance would be ruined, and nobody stepped forward. And it's described that the police chief, who was observing the whole thing, was shocked that practically all these Babaji's were having illicit life. And you see in Gaura Kishoradas Babaji Maharaj's pastimes, he's really heavy on many of the other Babaji's and criticizing many of the other Babaji's for being pretenders, and I'm going to read some of these different pastimes that are mentioned in the book. First one is called The Real and Pretender Bhajananandi. So this is, I'll be reading this. Once, while Srila Gaura Kishora was residing in a dhamshala in Kulia, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur asked him how he had lived at Braj, and many questions about the residents of Vrindavan and the various devotees who were performing solitary worship there. Srila Saraswati Thakur specifically asked about the Bhajananandis, who were reputed to be perfectly self-realized souls. Upon hearing the question, Srila Gaura Kishoradas Babaji Maharaj laughed again and again, and told Saraswati Thakur, they are all imposters. I mean, all is an absolute word. Generally, when you use the word all or every time, you got to be really careful. But he used this in a very precise way. They're all imposters. So, actually, I'm not criticizing any of the Babaji's and Radha Kund, but we have to be very careful. Because if you hear offenses from them about Srila Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, your devotional creeper is destroyed. And if you don't respond to an offense, this is one of the things mentioned in the Nectar Devotion, that if you don't respond to an offense, then either by, you know, correcting the person or whatever, then it's dangerous. So one of the Babaji's in question, who lived at Kushima Sarovar in Vrindavan, was famed as a great Vajananandi. He had a few disciples who were reputed to be perfectly self-realized, but Babaji Maharaj did not even slightly agree to their being genuine. After some time, these pretenders became afflicted with the leprosy of the throat and left their bodies after suffering terribly. They had resided in the Dham with their intelligence bent upon sense gratification, and they had behaved offensively towards Babaji Maharaj. Here's another one. Deception and actual residence in the Holy Dham. Once a young devotee who very anxiously desired to perform devotional service and reside in the Holy Dham of Navadvip came and revealed his intentions to Babaji Maharaj. This young devotee had made arrangements to remain in the Dham as a physician, to buy medicines by begging for the money and to thus treat the sick and infirm. He considered that in this way he would be able to be performing his bhajan and also simultaneously performing great welfare activity. To receive confirmation of his plans, he had come to consult Srila Babaji Maharaj. When he arrived and presented his proposal, he quoted the following verses. This is a verse, I'm not going to quote it, about Murari Gupta to justify his activities. Srila Babaji Maharaj could understand the young man's inherent insincerity and the pretension of his wanting to live in the Dham, and revealed the defects of his plan, saying, Murari Gupta is an eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya and is always resident in the Holy Dham. He never expressed any intention to stay in the Lord's Dham by unjustly supporting himself so as to enjoy sense gratification. He never, at the expense of any temple, supported his family, nor was he interested in earning money to fill his stomach. He never accepted charity from his friends or anyone else. In other words, just to summarize, he did his physician's activities and he got donations from the people who he was taking care of, but he didn't go around begging from other people because that's not appropriate for someone who is in the grahastha order of life. Let's see. Okay, so next. Here's a quote from Prabhupada. Prabhupada commented on two verses cited above as follows. It should be noted that a grahastha householder must not make his livelihood by begging from anyone. Every householder of the higher caste should engage himself in his own occupational duty as a Brahmin, Kshatriya, or Vaishya, but he should not engage in the service of others, for this is the duty of a Shudra. One should simply accept whatever he earns by his own profession. Murari Gupta could treat with both bodily and spiritual disease because he was a physician by profession and a great devotee of the Lord in terms of spiritual advancement. And Srila Prabhupada goes on here, so we'll go on to the next quote from Gaura Vishwanath Babaji Maharaj. Let's see. This one is called The New Babaji. A neophyte devotee who had taken the dress of the Babaji often came to converse with Babaji Maharaj. On one such occasion, he decided to take up residence in the Holy Dham. He approached a certain queen who was living in Kulia and who owned land thereabouts in order to purchase 3/4 of an acre of land from her. Upon hearing this news, Babaji Maharaj commented, "The supreme abode of the Lord is transcendental. How is it possible that this queen has become a land owner in the Dham? How is it that she is entitled to sell that new Baba, a portion of land in the Dham? All the jewels in the universe are not valuable enough to purchase even one speck of dust in the Dham. Therefore, how can any land owner amass enough wealth to become the owner of a plot of the transcendental abode of Sri Navadvip Dham? Has this new Baba, for the exchange of the practice of devotional service, become entitled to a portion of land in Navadvip Dham? Anyone with such materially tinged intelligence is actually very offensive and far away from the actual residence within the Dham." In other words, just by purchasing a house in the Holy Dham or something like people. You go to Vrindavan now, I mean, it's just as crowded as Delhi, basically. You got these high-rise apartments, and everyone thinks, "Oh, I have a place in the spiritual world." But the real point is, according to Raghunath Das Goswami, that if one lives in Vrindavan, it's in one's heart and one's mind. And Imano Shikshi talks about this. He says there's different devotees who live in Vrindavan. And he gives two types. One who live physically, externally, and in their mind. And the other type lives in their mind. And he says, but those who just live externally don't live in Vrindavan. They're not Vrajavasis. This Manashiksha is very, very important. Those persons whose attitude is thus tainted by materialistic intelligence, who think that the Dhamma is part of the material universe, are considered by the devotees of the Supreme Lord to be sahajas, or cheap, imposter devotees. Wow. So, next quote. Deception and devotional service. Once a resident of Bangladesh, who was very wealthy, at that time it was East Bengal, who was a very wealthy landlord, scholar, and Brahmin, and reputed to be a great devotee of the Lord, came with a friend to see Srila Babaji Maharaj. The landowner appeared to be so deeply absorbed in devotional ecstasy that his friend had to support him as he walked, lest he fall down due to excessive trembling of the body. Might have been Parkinson's. When the pair arrived before Babaji Maharaj, two other persons in the assembly, recognizing the famous landlord, immediately received him as an advanced devotee of the Lord. They carefully offered their obeisances to him and arranged a sitting place. At that time, Srila Gaura Kishora's Babaji Maharaj, in his pastime of blindness, inquired who was come. The friend of the landowner introduced his companion by glowingly describing his erudition and devotion and his being disinterested in material sense gratification despite possessing unlimited wealth. He then described how only a fortnight earlier a thief had come and stolen 45,000 rupees from the landlord's house. Despite suffering such a setback, the landowner, knowing devotion to be much more significant, had come to obtain Srila Babaji Maharaj's transcendental darshan. The friend added, I am his friend. He has left all material sense gratification and keeps only my association. You'll be able to realize his greatness by conversing with him. He once asked me a question about a confidential exchange between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Ramananda Roy found in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I told him that only Gaura Kishora Das Babaji Maharaj could properly answer his question, and certainly no one else. We have already been to see many learned persons in this area, and yet we cannot come to an agreement about the meaning of this conversation. We think that only you are able to explain it properly. After the introduction was complete, Srila Babaji Maharaj replied, I will tell you a process by which you can understand the conclusion of this conversation. But before trying to understand these confidential topics between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy, you should renounce the association of this rascal imposter landowner and take shelter of a pure devotee of the Lord. You should hear the Chaitanya Charitamrita 100 times in the association of authentic devotees of the Lord. In this way, being absorbed in transcendental ecstasy, you will be able to realize the purport of these conversations. At the present moment, all the devotees here want to perform congregational chanting the holy name of the Lord. We don't have time to discuss any other topics. You see, it's pretty heavy. All right. All right, next one. Next one is displaying ecstatic symptoms. On one occasion, Srila Babaji Maharaj, he was like a thunderbolt. On one occasion, Babaji Maharaj was sitting within his bhajan kutir in Sri Navadvip Dham, loudly chanting Hare Krishna. Other persons who had assembled there were also chanting. At this time, someone came and began to display different ecstatic symptoms, such as crying. Some of the assembled devotees thought, oh, that person has attained the highest stage of transcendental ecstasy by chanting the glories of the Lord. Gaura Kishora Das Babaji Maharaj, however, immediately requested the man to leave, get out of here. Some of the onlookers became disturbed by this and left. Babaji Maharaj commented, one who has actually attained love of God will never display the symptoms thereof, but will keep them hidden. A chaste wife becomes very embarrassed when she has to show any part of her body in public, and thus she keeps her body thoroughly covered. In the same way, When one has real devotion for the Supreme Lord and becomes elevated to love of Godhead, he always feels embarrassed to exhibit symptoms of ecstasy and always keeps such symptoms hidden. Of course, we see Srila Prabhupada did the same thing. All right. Next one. A householder's vow. A newly married devotee and his wife once went to pray for the mercy of Srila Gorkhashodas Babaji Maharaj. Babaji Maharaj instructed the husband, if you actually want to perform devotional service, then you must live separately from your wife, and thus, not depending on one another, chant the glories of the Lord. After hearing these instructions, the newlyweds did as they were advised. A few days later, and that devotee came again to Babaji Maharaj, who then asked, are you and your wife taking your foodstuffs together or separately? The husband told him, we are living separately and carrying on our worship as you instructed, but we take our foodstuffs together. Babaji Maharaj then inquired, what did you have today? The newlywed man answered, we had very nice vegetables, the best dal and fried eggplant. Babaji Maharaj then explained, if you only give up the external connection with your wife, that is not sufficient because you are associated with her within. You have not been able to give up the finest foodstuffs prepared by your wife, so how will you be able to worship the Lord? Your wife is communicating with you through the medium of what she has cooked. Shame, shame. Pretty heavy. Even though you are acting as if you were chanting the Lord's holy name, still you are desiring the stems of the finest vegetables. Do you think that after someone suffers a loss of one lakh of rupees, he will be satisfied accepting only a handful of rice? Although he may gradually become accustomed to accepting the rice as a daily practice, still he will always think of the money he has lost. Even if one were to give such a person the most delicious foodstuffs, because he will always be anxious about what he has lost, he will not be able to put the longing for it from his heart. You have lost that which is invaluable, your devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Thus, how can you become absorbed in eating such nice foodstuffs? As for your wife, externally you are disassociated from her, but yet you are maintaining attachment within. So, it's not that he dealt like that with all the householders, don't worry. I mean, that's pretty heavy. So, next one. Renunciation for Krishna's pleasure and false renunciation. A married man present during Babaji Maharaj's conversation with the newly wedded husband inquired from the Paramahamsa as follows. We see that there are many Vaishnavas living with their wives who perform devotional service to Lord Hari. Will any benefit accrue to such persons? Srila Babaji Maharaj replied, the living entity is the eternal servant of Lord Krishna, but when the conditioned soul looks upon his wife and sons, he simply sees their material forms. If one does not have the eye of devotion, one can never perceive his real identity as the eternal servant of Krishna. The bound souls always have the inclination to enjoy their wives and children. These days, the living entities do not like to hear the topics of the Supreme Lord or to get the association of the Lord's devotees. If one does not attain the spiritual energy given by the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, then one will become attracted by his wife and offspring. Then again, some persons feign detachment from their wives, children, and sense pleasures. This kind of external renunciation is like the renunciation of the monkeys, who are not actually renounced, although they apparently eschew clothing, proper shelter, and the other trappings of sensory emolument. The abnegation of the monkey-like renunciates is simply a pretense. The genuine Vaishnava will never maintain an attitude of sense gratification towards his wife. Rather, he will always regard himself as the servant of Krishna and the bona fide guru. Those who actually are desirous of performing Hari Bhajan, but in whose hearts the weeds of material desires grow and are unable to give up excessive attachment to wife and children, should also come and hear from the pure devotees, chant Hare Krishna, perform congregational chanting. In this way, they can quickly become detached from the inclination to enjoy. They will gradually realize that if one completely surrenders to Krishna, then one will attain all auspiciousness. As long as one remains in bodily consciousness, one cannot obtain the mercy of Krishna. The extension of bodily consciousness is seen in the affection displayed, and yet one who leaves the association of his wife because of being thoroughly distressed in mind and continues to seek happiness for his own mind and body is not a real renunciate. The distinctive feature of the renunciation of the devotee of the Lord is it's not being diverted from him in any way. A real renunciate accepts whatever is favorable for the Lord's satisfaction and rejects whatever is unfavorable. So in other words, one should engage in yukta vairagya, not that one has to leave their family or anything like that, but understanding that one is a servant of Krishna and servant of his spiritual master and interact with one's family and interact with one's friends in that particular consciousness, not thinking that I'm the enjoyer of it. So it's a question of changing the consciousness, not changing the external situation. Okay, we have to treat the deities. All glorious to his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, ki jai, Srila Gaura Kishoridas, Babaji Maharaj, ki jai. Okay, Rangadevi, Govinda Das, Elena, nice devotees. Jai, Shri Shri Radhika Lokananda ki jai, Radhika Lokananda ki jai, Radhika Lokananda ki jai.
Govindam Hari Purusham Bhagavam Bhajami Govindam Hari Purusham Bhagavam Bhajami Govindam Hari Purusham Bhagavam Bhajami Aham Bhajami Govinda Hari Purusham Aham Bhajami Govinda Hari Purusham Thank you. Sachinandarupam Vasakundaram Gokurai Rajamandam.
Amen. Mm-hmm. to the Supreme Controller of His essence and eternal form, universal knowledge, whose bliss in ears swing to and fro, manifest Himself in Gokula, who stole the butter that the gopis kept hanging from the rafters of their storerooms, and then quickly jumped up and ran and retreated who here of Mother showed up and was open to the offer. To that Supreme Glory, Sri Damodar, I offer my humble obeisances. Upon seeing his mother's whipping stick, he cried and rubbed his eyes again and again with the stoop of his hands. His eyes were fearful and his breathing quick, and his mother showed up bound his belly with ropes. He shivered and cried and his pearl neck was shivered. To the Supreme Lord, Sri Damodar, who is bound by his devotee's love, I offer my old obeisances. Those super excellent pastimes of Lord Krishna's babyhood drowned the inhabitants of Gokula in pools of ecstasy. To the devotees who are attracted only to the majestic aspect of Narayana Vakunta, the Lord here reveals, I am utterly and overwhelmed by pure loving devotion. To the Supreme Lord Damodar, my obeisances hundreds and hundreds of times. O Lord, although you are able to give all kinds of benedictions, I do not pray you for liberation, nor eternal life by Kuntha, nor any other good. My only prayer is that the child of pastimes and constantly through my mind. O Lord, I do not even want to know your future Kamala. I simply wish that your child of pastimes may ever be an advent in my heart. O Lord, the cheese of your lavish lotus face, which is encircled by locks of curling hair, have become red like little food and money shows kisses. What more can I describe than this? Million influences of no use to me, but may this vision constantly remain in my mind. All unlimited vision of all that is there, O Lord, be relieved upon me. I am drowning in an ocean of sorrow, and am almost like a dead man. Please shower the rain of mercy upon me, of the good you may attack your question with their carrying vision. O Lord, Damodar, your form is invading, the mother you showed have bound you to a grinding stone with the ropes, dying cows. You then freed the sons of Kubera, Mani Griva, and now Kubera, who were cursed to stand as trees, and you gave them a chance to become your devotees. Please bless me in the same way. I have no desire for liberation in here, Colchis. O Lord, the entire universe was created by Lord Rama, who was born from your abdomen, which is bound in the robe by Mother Yashoda. To this robe I offer my humble obeisances. I offer my obeisances to your most beloved Srimati Bhavarani and your unlimited pastimes. Jai, Lord Damodar, Lord Damodar ki jai.
Kartals, you don't like punk songs? Or?
It's not that I don't like it, it's just that my ears were
so I shouldn't, no one should play punk songs?
No, people play or they'll be playing softly.
Like today, was it too loud?
No.
Oh,
no, that's no, I'll let you know. I mean, I'll put your place.
And when I was paying classics.
What?
Classics.
Yeah, we make blessings. I'm just afraid. It's important to get a senior and lay these blessings.
Blessings. Now you should bless Donald Trump.
Why not?
Yes, he needs it.